So we've been reacting to the news that the Post-Gazette is no more. The hard copy version of the paper is already basically a
relic
from the past, exactly. But the online version of the paper will cease to be in May. The people that have called in lately and that have texted into the show that are now mentioning how much it was a part of their sports upbringing to find their personal stats in the paper and clip them out and turn it into some kind of keepsake, that is really resonating with me right now. Because I do feel like kids, maybe up until 10 or 15 years ago, I feel like every kid who played high school sports did some version of that or had someone do that for them. You mentioned you barely missed out on it. Like,
the one time I would have been in the box score, leading the leading scorer of the whole game for either team. They didn't do the leading scores.
I'm sure Doran has a book that looks like a Encyclopedia Britannica.
Or like one of those Random House dictionaries.
Of all like his accolades and articles and things that were written about him, both at West A and Pitt.
Austin Bechtold has a small pamphlet.
Well, he's got the wiffle ball articles that were written about him.
I'm just going after Bechtold because maybe more on this later. He was apparently taking some wild pot shots earlier today at our show indirectly.
What?
He was a little out of pocket.
Well, wait, you don't have to make this wait. I want to hear what happened now. I don't want to put that off.
He basically implied, Donnie, make sure you're on the mic here. Donnie, of course, played football before I think injuries ended kind of his career at Waynesburg, which is, what was Waynesburg, D3 still? Still is D3?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't injuries. I just wanted to focus on sports.
Yeah, we're at D3. It's not, you know, it's not scholarships for athletes, et cetera. Essentially, Austin implied that like D3 athletes aren't legit athletes. That was
calls D3 games. Right? I mean, how does he
Donnie,
say?
Am I misconstruing what he did here?
It started.
How does he illegitimize the games he calls?
Joe brought up, well, you know, Ray played football, Donnie played football, and Kabali, whose career of anything athletically ended at like 14.
Peaked at 12 when he was hitting home runs in the Mon Valley.
Yeah. He said, well, I mean, Donnie played D3.
Who said that?
That was Kabali.
Boom. And then Bechtold said he only played for a year.
Okay, so was it more Kabali that did this? Kabali or Bechtold? Who do you think took a bigger shot?
I think Kabali's comment had more malice. Yeah. As if like
okay,
D3.
So Bechtold didn't do as much as I thought he did here.
No.
But he wasn't an innocent bystander. Piled on.
I mean, Kabali's so easy to take pot shots at, though, I almost don't even feel like it. Like, that's too easy of a target.
As if like zero D3 athletes have ever made it to the NFL.
Yeah, Pierre Garçon doesn't exist. London Fletcher. Right.
My guy, London Fletcher, John Carroll.
I feel like a lot of coaches come from that level of football.
Like cradle of coaches. Yep.
Yeah. Man, that seems unwarranted and unnecessary today.
Kind of a weird shot. Well, I'm not going to say it.
Was this before or after this Post-Gazette news came out?
Before. It was before. They weren't like randomly just doing this as a sidebar. Yeah, I thought Bechtold had said a little bit more. I'd been led to believe he said a little bit more than he actually did. But still, Austin, come on, man. You don't have to piggyback with Kabali there. Let Kabali be out on the island by himself.
Did Starkey or Pomp come to your defense at all, or they just kind of let that comment marinate?
No, they both defended me. Joe said anybody who's ever played sports at the college level, it's impressive.
Also, honestly, if you're Kabali and your career as an athlete ended more or less when puberty happened, like in your glory days were when you were 12, shouldn't you probably not say a word about that?
Sorry, I got distracted by a Zangrilli tweet because I actually think he makes a good point.
I saw the same tweet. I'm not so sure he does.
Really?
Yeah, I know. You can read it. We could debate it.
Well, he says he just wonders why they wouldn't just close up shop now and why they would wait 5 months.
Because he thinks they're trying to find a buyer. Or because he thinks they're trying to do this as a business tactic.
He thinks this is business posturing and that they're not actually ready to. They're trying to say, look, we're done unless someone comes and saves us.
And buys the paper?
Yeah.
I mean, I could say back, why weren't they actively looking for buyers behind the scenes now? Because if everyone knows that they're just going to shutter, I feel like that's going to affect the quality of the offers they would receive.
It just doesn't seem from the people who work there like they've been told or they've heard, hey, nothing to worry about. Maybe it won't be called the Post-Gazette, but you guys are all going to have jobs with some new outlet. I said to Donnie during
Somebody said to me who works there, I would have assumed ownership would have looked into that selling the paper already before making an announcement like this. I don't think Dan is correct here, for the record.
I wonder if somebody looks at the success of their sports staff and digs into whether or not sports specifically were profitable and thinks maybe I can do something with the sports people there and not have to deal with the other aspects of running a full newspaper.
They might. I feel like kind of dirty even saying that because all those other people who are aspects of running a newspaper are still people out jobs today.
No, I know, but they're not in our sandbox. I get it. I feel what you're saying. There's empathy towards those people too. But for what we do, is there proof maybe that the sports section was still thriving, but it was the other parts of the paper that were bringing it down?
I don't know. I don't know how that balance sheet looks.
Here is Dave in the car. Hello, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'm not quite 70. I started delivering the Post-Gazette when I was 11 years old, and I made a hefty penny and a half for each one, and the coveted route was the press in the afternoon, which was 3 cents daily and 5 cents on Sundays. And I think a lot of people maybe don't realize that it was very unexpected that when there was a consolidation of media, that the Post-Gazette was the remaining newspaper, because everybody thought it would be the press, which I think dwarfed the Post-Gazette then in circulation.
Dave, I vaguely remember that as somebody. I think I delivered the press till it went on strike, Dave. And like the early, does the early 90s sound right for a press strike?
That sounds about right. I was going to say late 80s, early 90s, somewhere
I think
around
my
then.
Brother was.
But it was shocking.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And then a couple memories for me. I was at the last doubleheader at Forbes Field, the last game. And like many that day, absconded with a seat from the stadium, and my dad lacquered the headlines from both
awesome
papers on it, and I still have that today. I also was very fortunate to be at the Immaculate Reception game and have a pristine copy of the paper from that day as well. Regarding the Chris' points about media and the fractionalization of media, I think it's already underway. I mean, how many Penguin websites and how many Steeler websites
100%.
Already exist? And I think what you'd lose here is a quasi-official, in quotes, source, a centralized source that everybody goes to and which everybody draws from, I think probably including you guys. So who knows where it goes.
Not maybe, probably, definitely.
Maybe this is.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
He's right.
All good points.
He's right. I feel fortunate for right now. And I mean, we obviously do try to diversify in this business. We're on YouTube. I'm looking at a screen with us. We have cameras in front of us. We're broadcasting this show live on Twitter right now. We do this every day. We stream on people's phones. I do feel fortunate that for right now, we're in a business where there's a lot of different ways to consume the product, where we are giving opinions that are often informed by the reporting, however, that are done by people who are now going to be out of a job in 4 months. And that, like, there's a certain... it's not going to go anywhere quality to what we do, at least the principle of what we try to do. But
well, the principle of what they do is not going away. People are going to continue to write about sports.
It's just finding it just becomes so much more difficult.
Well, for the consumer, finding it becomes difficult. Selfishly for them, getting paid enough money to support your family while doing
becomes
it is
exceptionally difficult.
Yeah.
The whole appeal of a paper, in theory, is you might only like 3 or 4 of the writers or 5 of the writers who are writing across all sections, like editorial type stories or anything. But there is a news gathering and a reporting apparatus that like provides value. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Provides value across that spectrum.